Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This one is interesting to me, and it's the Australian White Sheep.
Okay.
Also known as the Australian White, is a breed of sheep.
This is food?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Hi. Welcome to the Modern Waiter Podcast. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter, where we discuss all things restaurant business, learn something, laugh at something. On today's episode, we discuss 12 restaurant trends to look for in 2024. But first, the intro.
Tired of working deadbeat jobs for lame pay. I'm tired of getting fired and hired the same day. If you know the rules of the game, then you'll stay.
As usual, I'm joined by my good friend, Danny Davila.
What's up, what's up, what's up, people?
Hey, it's the new year, 2024.
The new year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you sound like the Kool-Aid guys. And so as we go through this show, we're gonna not so much reflect on the state of the restaurant industry, but we're going to look forward. And at some point, we're acknowledging what's
happening.
What's happening.
And what we think is going to happen. I like it.
I was reading an article
mm-hmm.
that California is out of their minds.
Yeah.
Quick service.
Totally off the reservation.
Quick service restaurant employees are voted now to go from $16 an hour in April, I think it is. They're going to go to $20 an hour for restaurants like McDonald's and Chipotle and things like that. That's insane.
That's nuts. Because, you know, I think we've talked about this before. I always said those are starter jobs. To me, that's what your kid goes and gets. You know, you want to, when you're a kid and you're 16 and 15 mm-hmm. and, you know, you're learning how to understand work and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Those are the jobs you go get. You know what I mean?
So
what is the point? If you're making $20 an hour as a teenager.
That doesn't mean that teenagers are doing those jobs. It could be anybody doing those jobs. So we're taking the job in itself and then projecting it to basically how things used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Crumple that piece of paper up, throw it in the garbage because it's a different world.
It is.
You know, and I don't live in California, so maybe whoever lives in California can really address that.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm here wanting things to be the way they were. Clearly, there's a reason why it needs to be a high minimum wage like that.
Yeah.
And as advocates for the industry that we are, why we do this podcast, it's something that I'm willing to educate myself mm-hmm. about. So looking at 2024, I believe that's just the beginning. That's going to be a trickle-down effect to other, not just restaurants.
Retail, sorry. Yes.
So I think that would trickle down to retail as well.
Oh, it's going to have to.
I don't believe that tips really have bolstered the finer dining or mid-tier or whatever. Mm-hmm. They rely on tips to
cut the gap.
Cover absolutely. That gap.
Absolutely.
Now, with just quick serve employees, they're performing the service and they're getting low to minimum wage. It's not a workable wage.
No, you're right.
But wow, that just sounds crazy.
That's a big jump.
What's going to happen to prices?
Exactly.
So as I think about it,
that's what really happens more than anything else. Mm-hmm. When you raise everything up that much.
Yes. Everything else costs more.
So not only you make $20 an hour, but now when you've been to McDonald's, you don't even eat McDonald's. Okay.
Correct.
So I think I took my daughter to McDonald's while we were in New York, okay. But I've been a couple of times, but I don't eat there myself either. But what used to be like a $5, you know, value meal, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's every value meal is $10. So where's the value in that for fast food?
As I think about it, I'm thinking about it sitting in this chair. If the epicenter is California, And from what I know of California, it's high taxes, right?
Yeah.
Everybody knows that. Now, you are now taxing the poor again.
Oh, yeah.
For the most part, it's poorer people that are going to be patronizing the quick serve restaurants on a regular basis.
Absolutely.
So they have less disposable income, paying more money to get a value meal or what have you. And then it's going to be, you know, younger or poorer people who are going to be working those jobs. And then so it's more money to be getting taxed from. So
Absolutely.
You're getting taxed at your job. You're getting taxed when you go
out. Yeah.
Go out. And so I wonder if that has something, you know, to do with it. Because, hey, you can't live on $10 an hour in California.
No.
That I know.
And we get it. Yeah. It's been understandable.
So what's going to be the fallout is the thing.
Yeah, everything else. Everything else is going to go up. And it already is up there.
It's okay? Already is up there.
It's high, okay?
It's too damn high.
Yo, their gas is out of control, okay? You look at the gas here. Our gas is, I'm not going to throw out numbers, but I'm easily $1 to $2 more in California.
Of course.
In any given place.
Okay, so sticking with the trend, I think that's going to be a trend for other states and other restaurants because rising tides raise all boats.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first one. Number two, the tech integration, it will enhance restaurant services. Now, more and more restaurants increasingly adopt technology for improved customer service, including digital menus, online ordering, and reservation systems, things like that. And we're going to see more and more of that to streamline operations.
Yeah.
You, last year, went away from the standalone
PosiTouch
to a
handheld
system.
Tablet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now that you have more, you know, time in, what do you think?
I still don't like it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it has to do with...
It has its own bugs. It has its own hiccups. We ran into a couple issues where when the system went down and, you know, it was just... It was a whole new set of hiccups.
It solves problems and creates more.
Exactly.
And
it was like a Biggie song, more money, more problems. You know?
Exactly. And I get the idea of it because I've known a few more people who have adopted that particular system that we're not going to name. And because Webb, his other restaurant, he works at a different restaurant as well. And they have it. And he was describing to me what the issues are. And so I understand where the restaurant's coming from, but as far as streamlining things, you really are creating a disconnect between the customer
and the absolutely.
Restaurant. Yeah. And so, but I really see that tech integration, is you see those pillars of menus and things like that. I think that's related to the rising cost of labor.
Oh, absolutely.
So they want to find ways to mitigate that, and technology seems to fill the gap. But when you think of second order thinking, what are all the things that can go wrong by doing that?
Absolutely.
And that's what we're going to be finding out in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Next, something that we've touched upon in other industries is focusing on sustainability.
Yeah.
We are more increasingly very interested in what our environmental impact is, from our packaging to go boxes, what we use in the restaurants, whether it's plastic straws, paper straws, things like that. So we're going to be more interested in that in 2024.
More mindful, absolutely, yeah.
Yes, more mindful, locally sourced ingredients. Reduction in food waste and things like that, because where you spend your money, you really want it to be in alignment with what your core values
Absolutely.
Are. And we did a show about the world famous parrot, and we talked about their environmental
impact and what they do for the community.
Correct.
All the above.
Yeah, they do things like the beach cleanup, their to go,
everything they have is biodegradable. It's, you know, it's within all the normal realms. Nothing that's styrofoam or stuff like that. It's all,
Our next one piggybacks off of what happened in 2020 with shutdowns and things like that. we did a show with Brandon Tendler, I believe, which was on ghost kitchens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that slowing down. I see that trend continuing, especially when you have like rising employee costs and
absolutely
things like that.
Yeah.
Rising cost of hard goods and mm-hmm. space. Real estate is,
especially in places like California.
Yes.
You know, where, you know, like you said, yeah, if you got to pay somebody that much,
mm-hmm.
you're definitely, you're going to limit the time. So you're going to try to consolidate money where you can.
Exactly. In other places. And so physical space can be shared in a ghost kitchen.
Absolutely.
You can have a warehouse space mm-hmm. with several concepts. And basically, it's just an online presence.
Yeah.
And then you fulfill through that. You have more of a build out of an infrastructure of delivery systems.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're doing your own or you have delivery dudes, DoorDash, things
all
like
above,
that,
yeah. uh-huh.
all of the above, Uber Eats, that's ingrained in society's mind, so you're leveraging that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that the rise of ghost kitchens will continue to rise in 2024.
Yeah.
And if you enjoy our show or our content or even have anything to say about it, if we pissed you off, let us know. Let us know in the comments if you're watching on YouTube.
Do you make you mad?
Oh, sometimes, like, you know, we did a show with the chef and we put out a clip and he's like, he doesn't speak for everybody. Well, clearly, he's speaking for himself. Mm-hmm. That's why he's on the show, right? And so you can contact me in the comments, or you can follow me on Instagram at The Modern Waiter Podcast. The email is themodernwaiter@gmail.com.
Boom.
Now, this one is a very interesting concept where more and more states are allowing alcohol to go.
Mm.
You know, there's some states that are very strict on alcohol. I don't see that really changing. But the states that probably have more open container laws and things mm-hmm. like that, including California, have relaxed regulation on alcohol sales.
Really?
And so allowing restaurants...
Like to go? Like,
yes, buddy. You can have alcohol along with your takeout and delivery.
Really?
So there's no reason that...
Not like by
continue.
Bottle? Like a drink?
Yeah. I mean, because your drinks are askew,
mm-hmm.
right? So in delivery... As long as you're able to prove
your
who's
age.
Buying it and mm-hmm. the age and things like that, similar to alcohol delivery, why not be able to have that cocktail mm-hmm. come right on to you as well as your food?
Oh wow!
I think that's.
I mean, it's very intelligent. I just know I didn't know that existed.
I didn't know you could do that.
Exactly.
That is wacky, wild stuff. And speaking of beverages, the next one that I'm looking for in 2024. Is creative beverage programs, whereby restaurants are investing in unique and creative beverage programs, including craft cocktails,
mm-hmm.
artisan sodas, and especially non-alcoholic drinks. There are a lot of people that don't drink alcohol
yeah.
or don't drink a lot of it.
And they want something fun. They always. I get a lot of people in my restaurant come and say, so what do you guys have that's like, you know, you have any like... You know,
mm-hmm.
non-alcoholic, like fun drinks or
yes.
craft kind of cocktails all the time.
All the time. And if you think about it, as much as you think that alcohol is a good markup margin, non-alcoholic beverages.
It's even better, actually.
It's even better. So it behooves a restaurant to really lean into that where, yes, you do sell alcohol and that's a good markup. Look into those craft cocktails, which are non-alcoholic,
mm-hmm.
you know, and a part of that is coffee drinks as well. Coffee is more increasingly becoming a bigger and bigger deal and has been.
Yeah.
And I don't see it stopping in 2024 either, where as an alternative to, or as a bolster, I should say, to the non-alcoholic category, they can really replace that
yeah.
that base where it's that mm-hmm. flavor can mm-hmm. really stand and boost non-alcoholic sales. And so, you know, the creative beverage, that's a ton of money, man.
Oh, yeah.
You put a strawberry in something.
People love it.
You know, yeah, people love it. It's wild. See something sparkling, mm-hmm. this and that. There were some things about like a sparkling kombucha and all that. It's all over the place, but I really think the mindset is shifting into
yeah.
that. Not that they're not going to
sell alcohol. People are
going
to drink on a drink.
Correct.
But
let's say you're out with friends and one or two of them don't drink.
Mm-hmm.
I had that on brunch not too long ago. this we also serve Bloody Marys, mimosas, and champagne.
Mm-hmm.
And she was asking me about a non-alcoholic, you know,
alternative.
And I felt for her because she wanted to be.
She wanted to be a part of the group.
She wanted to be a part of the group.
Yeah.
So I made her something. I made her non-alcoholic mojito.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is, a lot of traditional cocktails, the base of it is the alcohol.
Yes.
Not just, you know, the vodka. The flavor is in the alcohol.
Yes, there you're right. There's, you know, because you'll use flavored alcohols.
Yes.
You know, to bring out certain, you know, like you can't make a, let's say an espresso martini. It uses vanilla, vodka, uses all those little things. It doesn't just have espresso in it.
Yeah,
you
know exactly. What
I mean? It has all these other flavors that, you know, I can't just make you a mock espresso tini.
and strangely enough, that's what she asked for because all her friends were having them and she felt left out. And I said, stop your nonsense. You know, it's okay not to drink, but you can't just turn something. It's not just making this thing and then you put the cocktail in.
Yeah.
I think that's, to the uninitiated, they think that's how it works.
No, yes.
They make a drink and they add alcohol, which just don't have it with alcohol.
No, it doesn't work like that.
You know,
alcohol is the drink.
Exactly. And so I wouldn't mind having a non-alcoholic cocktail menu because, listen, you put a couple sprigs of this and sprigs of that, it looks great, and you're still charging them $6, $7, $8?
Yeah, I think we charge $9 for virgin mojitos and all that other stuff.
Boom!
Okay.
Minus the time it makes to muddle that crap, that's an ingenious way to make money.
Yeah.
And you don't have to deal with the liquor, and you have most of that stuff in-house anyway.
Yes.
So, win?
Win.
Win. Now, this one is in alignment with me. The health conscious menus, I see that as something that's very important to the growth of restaurants.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well, inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Because a lot of restaurants, they have their identity and have their identity.
Absolutely.
And they look at a healthy option as a salad.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm here to tell you that as a person that eats a lot of salads, they don't do a salad well. They'll do a salad, but they'll put all this sweet junk on it.
Yeah, it's not really healthy in the end.
It's not healthy in the end. You know, the candied walnuts and the cheese and things like that. People that really want a healthy alternative don't want to eat the cheese. They don't want to eat a bunch of sweet stuff. And so all that things that you're bastardizing this salad with is out of control. So there are other things that you could do with, besides just a green salad. You know, there are chickpea salads. There are mezes and things like that, dips that you don't have to even dip with a pita bread.
Yeah.
You got to think outside the box. And I don't know if they're afraid to maybe take that leap, but just having a salad or two on the menu isn't enough.
No.
And I won't go to those places because they don't really, I say it all the time, they don't have anything for me.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of wild where I go to certain places, including bars, just because they have something for me.
Yeah.
Have something, you know, you got to really think of
your audience.
Of your audience.
And like I said, if you have a couple of those things, that's all you need.
That's all you need.
You don't need much, but you need to have, if you have something, that you're already ahead of the game.
You don't need a whole side menu of all this bullshit.
No.
You just need two.
Two things. Yeah.
Make it good.
Make it good.
And
make it health conscious and you're good to go.
Bob's your uncle.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Next one is very interesting. It's virtual experiences and events. Mm-hmm. And again, piggybacking off of the rise in being able to go on a Zoom or things like that, there are several ways that you can consume knowledge. Like if you think of master classes and, mm-hmm. and whatever else, you know, restaurants can now do a virtual wine tasting, mm-hmm. you know, or educating people or cooking classes and things like that. You know, if you think about it, do you really have time to or the dedicated time to go to a physical cooking class and do all of that stuff when you can be educated?
So how do you do a virtual wine tasting, though?
Well, you can send them the box of
okay, the so they already have it,
like
and
that.
Then you do it online.
Yeah.
Oh no, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
No, I like that. It's almost like a HelloFresh kind of version of wine.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. There's different ways to connect to people, mm-hmm. but if you can do that at scale, where yeah. you don't have a physical space and them coming to you, yeah. I'm not going to fly to California necessarily to go Napa Valley and not know what the hell I'm doing.
Exactly.
But if I get plugged in with this thing, I can get educated.
Yeah, and that's and really cool. Actually, I would do something like that. Like you know. I can't go to Napa all the time. Napa, that's an expensive trip. So to get, you know, to get with one of the bigger distilleries in Napa, you know, and say, hey, they send you, that would be a great idea.
Yes.
I like that.
And it can extend to chefs as well, mm-hmm. where a chef can hold a class on, you know, mother sauces or how to do this or how to do that. Because a lot of times people just need to be entertained and educated at the same time.
Yeah.
But then... if you're going to do that in your kitchen or in this physical space, it's your time mm-hmm. and your space plus getting the people to you. This is 2024. Reach out to the people mm-hmm. and there are enough people that are interested in that. Like you said, you would do it. I would do it.
Yeah.
But wouldn't necessarily go to Napa unless I was being taken.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's like I said, it's a trip. That's an experience.
It's an experience.
Yeah.
I 100% agree with you. And we have a couple more left
here.
We
should pitch that to Carla.
What's that?
Maybe we should throw that idea to Carla. Throw some money for it. That'd fit right in her niche.
I do believe it would be. She's a raw chef. And... this one is interesting to me because my restaurant in particular doesn't really do much marketing mm-hmm. that I know about that I've seen. Maybe they do, but I haven't seen it.
Exactly. Yeah, I feel you.
You know, and so I think when it comes to marketing, I really don't see that there's a new way of doing things. Mm-hmm. You have to meet people where they are.
True.
And so the old like television and newspaper and radio, that isn't as effective for a restaurant.
Restaurants have been and probably will still be always your biggest thing is word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to get it from, like with us, you know, the concierge, when people come into town, we have a great relationship with our concierge because we're on the beach.
Yes.
We're close to a bunch of hotels, which they see all the people all the time. We Correct. Have a great relationship with the concierge and they send people to the restaurant all the time because they're in the hotel, mm-hmm. they need a place to go.
Yeah.
The first person you're gonna ask is somebody that knows the area.
Absolutely.
So that's one normal word of mouth, you know, and then we give them little benefits because of that. Like we have these little cards and stuff like that, you know, you get XYZ off your check or you get a free drink or, you know, and then the concierge, because of that, we throw them bones across the board.
That's a great system, but think about the ones that are nowhere near a tourist attraction.
True.
Or nowhere near a hotel and things like that. We're talking about what does the corner place or the plaza place mm-hmm. do, right? And marketing is all about meeting people where they are. So where are they? Whether you like it or not, they're on Instagram.
Yeah.
They're on TikTok. So how do you do that? It's a big mistake when a restaurant puts their food up on their site. That's not engaging. Nobody needs to see that. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
There's no story there.
There's no, exactly. They're not connecting with your audience.
They're not connecting with their audience.
Yes.
No one came in. No one ever walked into a restaurant and say, hey, you know what? I saw a salmon that I just had to walk through this door.
I just had to have.
Yes. But you make relationships. So now, like, new age marketing is leveraging the influence mm-hmm. of peers, right? So you could do the influencer thing, yes. But it has to be in alignment with what you do.
Exactly.
And if you have identified and done the work and identified that your audience or your customers and potential customers listen to this person, mm-hmm. then sure, yes, have that influencer. And that's the way that one way that you could do it. Another way is to you really have to present your story.
Yes.
People want to know why they're going to come there, mm-hmm. what kind of experience they're going to have. And it's not you sitting in front of a camera going, oh, come this, whatever.
No, you need to show them.
You need to show them.
It needs to be a visual thing.
It needs to be a visual thing.
They need to see like your atmosphere at night. Now, you can be, what's the word I'm looking for? Narrating the situation and then cutting to things. And that may, and that is showing them, saying, yes. Hey, you know, this is a night where, you know, blah, 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 and blah, X, yes. Y, Z. And, you know, this is why you should come here. And then you show them why you should go there.
I agree. This is why people come here. Mm-hmm. They come here for the this and that. Mm-hmm. And so two things happen off of that. When you have things that are visually appealing,
yes.
or Instagrammable or talkaboutable, whatever, right? and you have people who are going to share that message. Oh my God, I came here and you got to see this.
Yes.
Oh my God, I came here and this is what they did for me.
Me, yes.
Right? That is invaluable,
mm-hmm.
because then this one person has this many people with, or they want to be connected in the same way.
Yeah.
And then you meet them where they are, you show them why. And so it's not as straightforward as getting behind a camera or getting, you know,
yeah.
and showing, hey, this and that. But your employees are your biggest
asset
to advertise.
Mm-hmm.
And the good ones get it, and the ones miss the mark. They put, oh, come for happy hour this or a menu, or they post this picture of a drink and all that stuff. That's all static. That
yeah.
doesn't really move the needle
no.
at all. And so moving forward,
they want to see the happy hour atmosphere. Is the bar super packed, you know, or is it packed just enough to where I feel like it's okay to drink?
Yes.
But it has a great atmosphere, as I can see people, I can conversate, I can feel like I'm one with them.
Agreed. Some of it has to be informational.
Yeah.
Because people get their information from different sources now. You know, when do they have this wine? When do they have mm-hmm. this happy hour, or when they have this special, or whatever
do
the case
late night
may
happy
be.
Hour? Do they do this? Do they do X, Y, Z?
Correct.
Absolutely.
So partly like maybe 20-25% informational, mm-hmm. and then you have to really show.
And the rest is visual.
The rest is very visual and not pictures. Nobody
no.
like pictures are dead.
Yeah.
If it ain't moving, it's dead.
Exactly.
And so creative marketing is going to be bigger and bigger. Data systems and analysis. Collecting data on your customers is invaluable. That is
mm-hmm.
that is insane.
And it's everywhere now.
It's everywhere.
It happens on its own. They got AI doing that stuff for you.
And now I believe that restaurants are going to be able to know you more than you know yourself.
Oh yeah, they tried to already.
You have to know your guests.
Yeah.
You have to know
your audience.
And as you collect that information, then you're able to understand. Are they Facebook people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because generally, if they're older, you meet them at Facebook. You're younger, you meet them at
Instagram.
Or, yeah. If they're even younger, you meet them on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And all three are different. You can't post the same thing all the way through because
the audience changes, and their timing changes, and all of it.
Their metrics are completely different.
Totally different.
So that's what you really.
He's going through all that right now.
I am. And so I'm not interested in conquering everything at once, but I'm understanding that what I do on YouTube and what I do on Instagram and what I do on TikTok is and should be different.
Yeah.
It isn't necessarily, but I'm not a restaurant selling stuff. I'm
yeah.
just representing the craft that we have here.
Absolutely.
And so moving right along. This one is interesting to me, and it's the Australian White Sheep.
Okay.
Also known as the Australian White, is a breed of sheep.
This is food?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's not wool. It's this breed of sheep have hair.
Okay.
And so the meat is known for its quality and adaptability. And so apparently, the hair gives it its milder flavor. I guess wool ends up giving it more of a taste of lanolin.
Mm-hmm.
and the it's a plus for people, so it's a milder flavor of lamb. Yes, still lamb, mm-hmm. but it's a milder flavor of lamb, and you can command a 10 to 15% premium above
normal. And lamb has a little cost anyways.
Exactly. And that is going to be a trend coming up in 2024.
I can't wait to look for that one.
I know, right? Apparently, it has a higher fat content, but without the marbling, so mm-hmm. it still have a firm flavor. And so I'm interested in trying it. We have two more left.
Okay.
Indian food, I believe, will grow in popularity in the U.S.,
okay.
Mostly because of some of the things that we talked about previously, mm-hmm. which is...
health and stuff like that?
Correct.
Yeah.
A lot of Indians are vegetarians. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Indian food, as is, have those options.
Yeah, those components in it naturally.
Correct. We're not saying Indian food is healthy food. No. But we're saying components and parts of Indian food...
It's very healthy.
It's an option for mm-hmm. that... You know,
that
plant-based diet, correct? Mm-hmm. That niche, yes. And so, also tapping into the younger generation, what's it, Gen Z and the millennials, they prize authenticity and innovation mm-hmm. just as much as the experience. And so, authenticity,
yeah,
Indian food and the experience that lends itself to. I was at a party the other day, and they were talking about the best Indian foods in the area. And I'm like, I never heard of any of these places. You know, and I'm interested in that
food. Yeah.
Not necessarily Indian food, but vegetarian
food,
alternatives. Mm-hmm. And so the one guy's like, oh, so how's that place? And he said, oh, it's all right. He goes, I'm not going anywhere for all right food. You know?
Yeah.
And it was just picking up on the conversation was very interesting to me. And so looking up, researching for the show and looking things up, I was like, man, I bet you that you know, it's going to be a category.
It's going to be a surge.
I believe so. And finally, the artisanal and local collaborations.
Okay.
High-end restaurants will be collaborating with local vendors, other chefs and things like that. Think about what... our man Callahan, I think, is his birthday today, actually.
Happy birthday, Callahan.
Think about, they have a guest chef every
mm-hmm.
week. I believe that restaurants are going to be tapping into the resources.
The more local resources.
Correct.
And great restaurants have been doing that for years.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you'll always see where locally source this, locally source that. Mm-hmm. And the really higher upper end and echelon of good restaurants, you will always see that. But I think you're right. I think it's going to filter down into everything. And that'll be a more of a sustainable source for people. And it helps business for local business. It helps your town. And it really, it works out well for everybody.
One big thing for that's important to people and aligned with marketing is helping
The community. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So if you have and we used to do that as well with our previous owners from mm-hmm. my restaurant, they would have fish from local vendors.
Vendors, absolutely.
Like that. Mm-hmm. The guys come out and it's the fresh fish coming in.
Coming in. You know it's local. Yeah. That's like I said, when you find those really good, great places that do, you know, before they get anything, you know, that is what you're looking for. Giants do it all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, remember, I mean, we would get local stuff all the time from everybody.
Yeah. And it makes you feel like you're a part of something.
Absolutely.
And so that's our show. We're truly grateful for you as we move forward into this new year. Those are the trends that I believe that are going to be looking mm-hmm. for increasing in 2024. And we do this show for you each and every week. Haven't missed yet. This is our sixth season. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter.
I'm Danny Villain. Subscribe, people.
We'll see you next time.
Later. Yeah, niggas start to fill in my team. So glad you came here.